Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
I just want to welcome you first. You know, my name's Matt Smith. Again, I'm one of the pastors here. I'm really, really glad that you're here this morning. I also want to take just a minute and welcome everybody who's joining us online. People on our part of our online campus are like, you guys are like a really important part of our church family, and we just want to welcome you. If you're joining through Facebook or YouTube, if you would, take just a minute, head over to lighthousecommunity.online. Church and log in there. It's a really easy way. What you're going to do is you're going to find an online connection card. There's even a place to sign up for a group and lots of other helpful resources. And there'll be a person that you can connect with there. You can even ask for prayer requests there. So we're just really glad you're part of stuff. Can we just welcome our online community? Yeah, that's exciting. We have no idea how far that reaches, and I think that's really cool. So hey, over the past few weeks, we have been talking about who we are as a church family, what we believe, where we're going together. If you missed that series, I would encourage you, go back, check that out. It's online. You can find it on our website. It was fantastic. But one of the key parts of who we are as a church family is not a secret. It's not kept under wraps. It's actually in big letters on the building outside. It's community. And so when you think of community, a lot of times community has generally is defined as things like it's a group of people living in a certain area or a locality. Sometimes it's a group of people who have common interests. Other times it's defined as a, you know, more of a sense of community, you know, sharing, participation, fellowship. There's all kinds of communities that we could talk about, but there's one that I want to take some time to talk about today, and that's the very first community. It's the community that predates all of the other ones. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, God says this. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image to be like us.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So what you have to see here, what you've got to see is that before creation, before the beginning of time, God had perfect community within himself. You know, it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, that's why it says, you notice it says, "Let us make him in our image. Let him make him be like us." Right? So he exists in these three persons of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they had perfect relationship within themselves forever. And yet, God created us. You know, he created us so that we could be part of perfect community with him. You know, community that has perfect unity. That is what we were created for. We were created for relationship and community with God. And so in the beginning, there was perfect relationship and in community with God and with each other. Now, you don't have to look further than maybe two chapters ahead in the Bible to see how that community was broken. Man and woman sinned. You know, ultimately, they chose independence from God rather than dependence on him. That's what sin is. At its core, it is self-led independence from God. So from there, the world and everything in it was broken. You know, there's no corner of the world that the effects of sin doesn't reach. You know, all of our efforts cannot repair that brokenness. Sin is our ultimate problem, and it's one that we can't resolve on our own. Then if you look at everything else in Scripture, everything else in the Bible is the story of God, how God rescues us, how God worked everything to fix that brokenness and save us from an eternity without him. You know, all of it is the story of how God himself came in the form of a man, Jesus, and he died to pay the penalty for our sin. Even though he didn't have any sin, he did it to save us. And then he was raised again to life so that we could have perfect relationship with him. It's the story of how God completely, by his grace, saves us from sin and gives us Jesus' perfect righteousness. So when we talk about the gospel here at Lighthouse, this is the good news that we're talking about. God wanted relationship with us so much that he died on our behalf. When we put our faith in him, when we repent from our independence from God and we believe that Jesus saved us, we're not only forgiven, but we become part of God's family, you know, his community. So now, I know that is a really brief description of the gospel, but the implications of what God did affect every aspect of our lives as followers of Jesus. You know, this good news is at the center of everything that we believe and everything that we do here at Lighthouse. One of the key ways that this shapes our lives as believers is that the gospel invites us back into perfect community with God and with one another. You see, God did not intend for us to follow him alone. Following Jesus is something that we do together. That's who we are here at Lighthouse. We follow Jesus together. So one of the really practical ways that this happens at Lighthouse is through our small groups. Small groups are how we grow spiritually together as God's family. You know, they are the community within the community of God's family. So there are a lot of important things that we talk about on a Sunday morning. You know, we talk about truth from Scripture, how it applies, and how it applies maybe in a general sense. In a way, Sunday morning is like it's like a launching pad for how we might live out what God is leading us to. Maybe another way to say this would be Sunday morning is more like the class where you hear a lecture and you learn something from it. Small groups are kind of like the lab where you get to make hands-on application of what you've learned. Small groups are a place where we can seek God by studying the Bible together. They're a place where we can explore how he is leading us to apply the truth specifically to our own lives. You know, they're a place where we can ask questions and think about truth together and how we can actively trust and depend on him. Small groups are where we actually put the truth into practice. They're a place where we can live out the gospel toward one another in community. They're a place where we can grow. So being a part of a group here at Lighthouse is really normal. It's a normal thing. In fact, there are 29 groups meeting this semester, and those are just adult groups, not even our next gen groups. There's like 83 group leaders. There's all kinds of people who are going to be involved in that. And so being part of a group is really normal. So if you haven't joined a group, this is a great opportunity to become involved in a really, really key ministry here. So in a few minutes, you're going to see a video of some people whose lives have been profoundly affected by being part of a Lighthouse group. Hearing people's stories, you might even ask people this morning, like, hey, tell me about your experience with Lighthouse groups, if you're unsure to ask them, right? But one thing that you're going to hear is that small groups are family. You know, they are more than just some people that we see once a week. Through Jesus, they are our family. These are people who are following Jesus, saying yes to Jesus, and sharing the good news about Jesus with the world. You know, just like someone shared that good news with us. So all of these things are things that we do together as God's family. So whether you're new to small groups, or you're new to Lighthouse, or even if you're just new to seeking God to find out who he is, Lighthouse groups are for you. It does not matter if you're leading a group or participating in one for the very first time. God wants to use your group to help you know him, depend on him, and to grow. So this morning is going to be a little bit different than a normal Sunday at Lighthouse, which you've already seen. Today's the first day that you can sign up for a group for the fall semester. So what we're going to do, the hope is that we're going to give you a look at what you can expect when you sign up for a group. You know, when you sign up for a group, here's what's going to happen. Your group leader is going to reach out to you. You know, they're going to welcome you to your group. They're going to give you all the details about when and where and how long your group meets. They'll let you know what to expect. And then you're going to, when you actually meet together, you're going to get to know new people. You're going to study the Bible together. This isn't a lecture or a place where your group leader is going to teach and tell you what to think or what to do. This is actually a place where you're going to read the Bible together and think about what God's saying. It's a place where you can ask questions. It's a place where you can pray together. It's where you can care for one another and help one another. These are going to be people, these are going to become people who you can call when life is hard or when you want to celebrate good news. It's quite possible that these people are going to become closer than your own family. So when you think about your own life, do you have like five people that you could call who would be there with truth and love and help when life is hard? You know, do you have a place where you can ask hard questions and think deeply about the truth with other people? That's what happens when you sign up for a group. You're saying yes to a chance to grow in maturity and community. Then, after the semester is over, you can decide if that's something you want to sign up for again. This isn't a forever commitment. The semesters are like 12 weeks. Then we take a break before our winter semester, and then we do it all over again. So it's not unusual for people to sign up for a different group each semester. It's a good way to get to know people. But every time you do this, your close family actually grows a little bit more. So if you're anything like me, it might seem a little bit off-putting or scary to sign up for a group of people that I don't know. Let me assure you, these groups are made up of people who are just like you. These are people who just want to seek God together. They want to grow together. Now, in just a minute, we're going to sing another song, and after that, we're going to give you a short look at what you're going to experience when you sign up for a Lighthouse group. I've asked five of my friends to join me this morning, and we're going to study a passage of Scripture together just like we would in a group. In your welcome packet when you came in this morning, there's a Lighthouse group study guide. It's going to be the same study guide that we're working off of up here. In fact, there's going to be one in your welcome packet every week during the semester so you can prepare ahead of time for your group by reading and writing down some of your thoughts and questions before your group. There's no homework for our small groups. And each week, we're going to be studying a different passage of Scripture. So if you can't make it for a week, you can just jump right back. You're not going to fall behind. You can just jump right back in, and it's like you're kept up the whole time. So when you sign up for a group, signing up for a group is really, it's a way to know God and other people. It's also a way to be known. It's a way to be a part of real community. You know, groups are where relationships grow. So right now, we're going to stand and we're going to worship the God who created us for perfect community together. And after that, we're just going to jump in and we're going to see what it might look like to study God's word together.
Shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. hung up on that cross. Then he rose up from that grave. My God's still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we all be quiet. We shall. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy.
Glad you have a seat for just a minute. Good morning. Welcome. We're glad you guys are here this morning. Again, my name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here as well. So looking around, it's good to see everybody here. You see all the orange shirts? Those are our small group co-leaders. And so I want to make sure you know who those people are. Not just wearing orange because we all got the same memo and you didn't get it. It's actually planned. So there you go. So, hey, we're glad you're here. On the way in this morning, one of our amazing volunteers. Did you see how cute those volunteers were at the door on the way in this morning? Pretty amazing seeing those people. But we have some great volunteers handing you that packet on the way in. Inside that is this blue card. We call it our connection card. Would you go ahead and grab that and pull it out right now? We're going to talk about it here just for a second. If you're a regular attender, we would just ask that you would give us whatever, or your name and email address, just put that on there, and anything else that might be an update or whatever. But if you're a guest with us, first or second time guest, we would just ask that you would give us whatever information that you are comfortable giving us. And so you would do that. And then over on the right side, it's a box that says first or second time guest. That's you can check one of those boxes over there. And then at the bottom, there's a place you can tell us how you heard about Lighthouse Community as well. If you're joining us online, we want to say welcome to the online community as well. Glad you guys are here as well. And there should be a connection card link that's showing up in the chat box over there as well. Hey, this morning is Small Group Sunday, and so we're talking about groups, Lighthouse groups, and being a part of one. And so I just want to give you a quick understanding of how we do that. Inside your packet is this bright orange, matches the shirt. Well, pretty close. It's orange, and so it has it there. And so this is a list of every group that's available. And so here's how this works, is on the back of your connection card, you're going to see a spot that says, I want to sign up for a group. It's the bottom one on the next steps here. And you can actually just check that box. And then what you'll do is you'll decide on a group maybe that you'd like to maybe participate in. Guys, it could be really as simple as choosing a day of the week or a night of the week that works for you, or a part of town, or a kid-friendly group, or just somebody you know. And so there's an opportunity for you to do that as well. There's next-gen groups on the insert in the middle, as well as your kids and students groups for junior high and high school. You can actually look at those groups, and they can you can have students and kids sign up for those groups as well. And I want you to decide on one. There's going to be a number next to it. So this one here is Mike List's group right there in the front row here. His group is SA 101. It's a men's group, meets on Saturday mornings. And so what you would do is you take that number and you would just write it in that box right there. And that's it. There's nothing else. You just got to do that. And then you're actually signing up for the group. And then what happens is that group leader will then reach out to you and actually welcome you to be a part of that group and give you all the information you need to succeed in being a part of that group. So do that this morning. And then you're able to participate in the group in the coming weeks. So if you've got questions about that, look for somebody in an orange shirt. They'd be happy to help you fill that out and get any information that you might need. Right now, I want to invite you into, in just a moment here, into Lighthouse Community's living room. And it's a space up here. And what's going to happen is we're going to have some people that are going to join on stage, and we're going to do small group discussion, Bible study, like Pastor Matt talked about here a minute ago, and you're going to get to be a part of that. But before we do that, I want you to take a look at this video.
I'm so thankful that he used our family and our home as an instrument to do life with others and to share in the gospel and just to really go deeper and get to know one another better and get to know Jesus better.
We have found our closest friends, people that we consider our family, who we have dinner with once a week as family dinners, and just relationships that are irreplaceable.
I've made some fantastic friends in my small group, and they are a part of my family now.
Forming a community that we've been able to build relationships that we wouldn't have had without groups.
People I've been part of a small group with have really become part of my family. And that's one of the great things that we enjoy about small groups is God is always growing our family.
And blessing in our lives that we've gotten to walk alongside other people in their path, and we've been led in that way to grow as a family.
Being part of a group, sometimes God will connect you with people whose paths you would never have crossed with otherwise.
I'm growing spiritually. One of our girls accepted Jesus, to know people, and be in an environment where we could pray for each other and be a part of a community. And that's been really special.
God, people can be anywhere. Because we can worship God at somebody's house. We can worship God with these weird people who like to get together and read the Bible.
I love that.
Yeah. Man, isn't that cool? It is so cool to see how people are being affected by groups. Hey, I want to take a minute just to thank my friends for joining us. Emma Lumpkins, Fritz Bilo, Evan Jackson, Chrissy Starr, and Matt Schultz. These are guys that are part of your church family and part of our church family. And I just want to thank them for being willing to participate in this morning. What we would normally, yeah, that's with a woo. One thing that we kind of normally do as groups get rolling, and by the way, what we didn't mention is the small group semester is going to start on September 15th. So if you sign up today, don't worry about having to get to your group this week. That doesn't happen for another few weeks. We give a couple weeks to sign up. But typically, at the beginning of a group, we'll read through our small group guidelines to make sure everybody's on the same page. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to maybe mention a few here this morning that are just a good reminder. So, small groups are a safe place. They're a place where you can feel comfortable sharing with one another. That's why we have some of these guidelines as well. Another one might be, be self-aware. Be aware of how much time you spend sharing and what other people are saying and what you're saying. And finally, one of the key things is as we get to the application of God's word, like we start to see how this applies to our own lives, if you're going to talk about that, we call them I statements, but refer to that as I feel like God's calling me to do such and such, instead of, I think we as Christians should do this, because it kind of takes you off of the, takes some of, I'm not saying pressure, but it does, it makes it general and not so specific to you. So as we do that this morning, maybe that's one way we can share that. So we're going to jump in just like we would in a normal Bible study. Before we do, Matt, would you be willing to pray for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have today to study your word. Please help us to be changed by what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, man. You know, one of the first things that we do is we typically we'll read the passage in a couple different translations. A lot of times we'll read it in a word for word or a thought for thought translation. This morning, for the sake of time, I think we'll maybe just read it in one. So we've got it in the New Living Translation. Does anybody have that in the New Living that they'd be willing to read for us? Awesome. Thanks, Emma.
All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They shared their property, or they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in the homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all of the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Fantastic. Thanks. Hey, so when you, as we read through this, what are some observations that you guys make about, you know, actually just what's happening here, what's being said? You know, what stands out as significant or even confusing, or maybe what seems to be a main point of this passage?
I would say the radical transformation that happens when you experience God's saving grace and you give up your self-leadership.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would throw into that the context of this is, you know, it's Pentecost. And so right before this moment, Jesus' promise from John 14, 15, and 16 is fulfilled. Holy Spirit fills, you know, all of the believers. Peter shares the gospel with remarkable clarity. People are coming to faith, and as they're coming to faith, they're now experiencing the Spirit of God living inside of them, which is now we see the outflow of all of that here. So you have like 42 through 47 is a remarkable thing, but I think if you don't have the Spirit filling believers on the front end, I'm not sure that 42 through 47 takes place.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that jumped out at me. You know, reading it, I'm thinking about what happened before that. So Peter they saw the Spirit fill everybody else. Peter preached the gospel with just amazing clarity, and people responded. They're like, "What should we do?" He says, "Well, you should repent and be baptized." And so I can only imagine that there's like, you know, I don't think Peter baptized 3,000 people. You know, I think that was like, hey, you're a believer. Maybe go over there and baptize somebody else. Yeah.
got saved 10 seconds ago. Why don't you disciple someone else by baptizing them?
Yeah.
Well, it's because his arms were so tired from baptizing in and out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's amazing. What else stands out?
I think, like, you've already talked about this morning, but just how doing life together as a Christian is normal. Mm. And you see that switch for them and just how unified they were in everything. And just like, you know, within our small groups too, like we might not have a lot of things in common, but when we have a relationship with Christ, that brings us together.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because as you're saying it, I'm thinking, that is normal. That is normal for us. But if you look around at everything else in life and the rest of the world, that's not normal. I mean, the stuff they're describing here, that's not normal stuff. What else do you see as maybe really obvious or maybe a main point of this?
I don't remember how the NLT put it, but the NIV in verse 42 says that that they devoted themselves. And then there are these four things, right? The apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so this idea of devotion, that I would essentially center my life around a few things that are of greatest importance, as opposed to lots of different things and basically having a buffet style of whatever I want to live on life, that these people made a clear transition after experiencing the work of Christ in their lives. They are now on a new trajectory that is focused on walking with the Lord as opposed to whatever their previous life was.
Anything else jump out?
I think just the joy that comes from serving and leaning on other believers.
Mm. Yeah, there's a dependence here, not just on God, but on other believers too.
Well, I think that they had to, in a certain sense, because, I mean, we talked about this being Pentecost. It's Jerusalem's filled with people right now who don't live there. And we can imagine how many of these 3,000 people who are from far away. So now they're in Jerusalem, and their lives are changed, and they're excited, and they want to stay. Well, they don't work here. They need that help. So it's out of a position of, I genuinely need all of my needs met by not only the Holy Spirit, but also the people around me.
Yeah. Hey, well, we normally break up kind of the way that we'd study Scripture into you know, three categories, if you will. So we just made some observations about this, but maybe now's a good time to start talking about. What does it say? You know, what does it mean, and how does it apply? So as far as what does it mean? You know, what do you see? What do you see this either saying about God's character and who He is? What are some of the implications of this? Like, if this is true, then this. Or like, how do you see the meaning in the context of the verses that we're looking at? What's that look like in our world today? What does it look like in general? What do you see there?
I would piggyback off of some of your teaching this morning, Matt. You know, you couched our own community within the context of the Trinity's community, right? And so, you know, what is happening here seems to be the natural expression of people transformed by God that are becoming more like Jesus. And so, of course, like the Father, the Son, and the Spirit have been in eternal community from before the creation of time. They'll always be in community. And so, of course, as I'm being welcomed into that through faith in Jesus Christ, then that would become, right? It would be normal for believers who, to your point, who are very, very different to become united because they have the same Spirit in them and they're walking with the same mission and purpose in life.
Mm. Yeah. For sure. You know, one of the things that I think about with this is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so, like, I have to think, the apostles, these are the guys who were with Jesus for his whole ministry. And not only that, but he was telling them all kinds of things, maybe even that we aren't reading explicitly in Scripture. They're sharing with them. They don't have the New Testament like we're reading it. They don't have the letters. They don't have all this stuff. They've got the Old Testament. And so when they're reading it, or when they're studying, you're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, they have to hear things like Jesus' words saying, love others like I've loved you. And so like that, I start to think about, well, what does that look like? And then it goes on to describe it. It's like they're selling possessions to provide for people in need. Well, why? Because that's who God is, right? Like, He's the one who provides our needs. And like the need that we all had was salvation too. What else do you see here?
I see a very, very fast change, an immediate change, and I see people responding to the Holy Spirit. So when it comes to your question about God's character, like what does this teach us about God's character? It's everything you're seeing them do is an outflow of being changed by the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about devotion. Okay, so God is devoted. All of the fellowship. The generosity, you know, that all of that can describe, you know, pieces of God's character.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that it doesn't say is it doesn't say they all came to faith and they became really self-righteous or they became really proud. Like, hey, look how good we are. We found God. Like all these people, they're just like profoundly humbled by the gospel, right? And what happens after that is they've got joy, they've got generosity, they care about other people. They're changed like that, and then God's also changing them. What else do you think this means?
The importance of not only fellowship, but the importance of attending temple together or congregating as a church and also breaking of bread together. Eating together has been always an example of fellowship.
Yeah.
Important one.
It talks about food. People might have been Baptists before they realized that they were Baptists. Nothing like a good potluck.
Yeah. Hey, well, so here. Oh, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, now I get it. I didn't get it at first.
I think Methodist, though. It's Methodist. They have the potlucks.
Well, so here's another question. Based on what's happening here, what you're reading about who God is and about his character, how do you sense God inviting you to depend on him? Because that's really application, right? Oh, how do you sense God inviting you to depend on him? What action is he leading you to take personally?
I think that God is talking to me about my level of devotion. You know, it's very clear from this passage that these people are all in. And I know that I'm all in when I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm all in when I am thinking about it. But there are pieces of my life where I can feel myself sort of strong-arming God. And so I want to be completely changed by the Spirit in every aspect of my life.
I think I would agree with you 100%. For me, as you're saying that, I'm realizing like God is calling me to do a lot of things here, and I am a do person, and so I like want to jump right into the acts. Like, well, I'm going to do these things, right? But I think what God's calling me to is to look, right? Because what happens here, this, you know, deep sense of awe that came over people was because they had they'd seen the truth of the gospel, they'd witnessed that, and that was the thing that just caused them to do. So for me, I think it's like not God saying, hey, go do these things in your own strength, just look at me. Just look at me and what I've done, and I'm going to give you the strength through the Holy Spirit to do those things. You were going to say something, Evan. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
I was just going to kind of go along with what this Matt was saying. There's a lot of Matts in here.
This is the Matt section over here.
Yeah. But, you know, at this point in my life, I don't believe that God is calling me to sell all of my possessions and to, get rid of everything. But first off, would I be willing to do that? Am I at that stage of faith? And secondly, at the very least, am I willing to give up a section of my schedule to be actively involved in a small group because of the good things that come with that?
Yeah.
I think for me, as I'm reading this and seeing kind of the community of the first church, so I'm naturally driven towards just introverted. I am energized by being alone, thinking, reading, that's where I get charged. I enjoy being with people, but it costs me to be with people, so I have to be careful on that. But, you know, these are people who are really, really devoted, not only to the Lord, but to one another, which, you know, is a clear outflow of one to the other. But that's kind of an invitation to me is, the times that actually being alone is more comfortable for me, actually the Lord may be calling me to, you know, being with other people, encouraging them, or finding encouragement and strength from others as well.
You know, full transparency, I can totally relate to that. I'm thinking about, like, even leading a group, every night that I'm leading a group, there's this part of me that's like, why did you sign up for this? Mm-hmm. And then my
you're the group's pastor.
Yeah. And then my group shows up. We do this, right? We do this together. And by the time we're done, I'm like, how could we not do this? Like, I needed this, even though my flesh didn't maybe at the moment think I needed it or resisted it.
I think it's interesting to look at the mix and the balance between being led by the Holy Spirit and actually taking action, right? Because I think we talk about a life radically transformed, and sometimes to me, I don't feel like my life is fully radically transformed, because I think when I think of that, I think of a feeling or just kind of a mindset shift where I think it is, but there's still an action that you have to take, right? Like,
yeah.
I have to actively choose to go to church. I have to actively choose to go to small group. I have to actively choose to involve myself in community, right? And so I think that you have to have that balance. And I think sometimes when people feel like they're not, drawn to the church or drawn to community, they stiff arm it because, you know, we feel like maybe that feeling just isn't there, and we just really need to focus on maybe just actually putting in some work and relying on the Holy Spirit to fuel those actions, but actually taking that step. And I think that that's where, like, you get that value out of your small group, right? When you say, okay, I'm going to go today, and then at the end you're like, oh my gosh, that was amazing, like, I loved it. And it was so good, but you had to take that step, and you had to rely on the strength that honestly wasn't inside you to do that. So I think that that's something that I've been working on, but yeah.
That's awesome. For some, the greatest step of faith might just be showing up to their group and then seeing how the Spirit involves in that. I think you're right. Yeah, you're pulling faith from this ethereal, philosophical thing into this very tangible. That's helpful.
You know, as you're saying that, one of the things that it reminds me about is, I need God to be able to really know other people, but if you flip that around, I think the opposite is true as well. I need you guys to help me know God better. Like, God uses each of us in a group to help us, because, like, we don't all have the same perspective. We don't all have the same, you know, we don't think the same, but God uses each of us to lead us more into a deeper knowledge and relationship with Him. Man, I could sit here probably for another hour and do this, and I think you guys would be tired of hearing us talk at that point. So we're going to wrap things up now, but one of the things that we do together commonly as a group is we pray together. So I wonder if this morning, just for the sake of time, when we pray, why don't we use sentence prayers, right? Like, just one sentence, you get like one comma, no semicolons, don't write like Paul wrote, right? But let's just pray one sentence. Based on how God's leading you to pray. And then when it seems like everybody's done praying, Fritz, would you wrap us up?
Yeah.
Awesome.
God, I thank you for the gift of brothers and sisters in Christ.
Thank you that we're not alone in spirit and we're not alone in flesh.
Mm-hmm. Father, please help us to respond to what we've heard today.
God, I thank you that you you saved me only by your grace. I do not deserve it, and I just pray that you'd help me to be grateful for that.
God, I pray for just the strength, you know, to involve myself in community and in the things that I need to grow in you.
Holy Spirit, we would ask you to empower us to do the things that would come naturally to Jesus that may be a bit unnatural for us who are learning freshly how to live. And lead us, we pray, through the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hey, can we thank, I mean, this is not easy for to get up in front of a bunch of people and do this. Can we thank our friends here for, yeah. Yeah. Hey, thank you for giving us some of your time. And yeah, I think Fritz is going to kind of wrap things up here for us.
Very good. Okay, so you got a quick peek into what a small group can look like. We wanted to pull back the curtain for you because for some of you, you've never been in a small group, and so this is kind of a first opportunity for you to see that. Others of you, you've been in small groups that have been fantastic, and so you're going, yeah, I'm remembering moments like that. And then for some in this room, you've had small group experiences which didn't look like that at all. And you're going, as we're talking about small groups today, you're like, I don't know about this. You know, I remember the last time I was in a group, and I don't think I'm ever going to do that again. And so the idea is to pull back the curtain on small groups. Really quickly, I want to share with you three things that you might have seen on stage, but you didn't really notice it. And then I want to share three things with you that maybe you didn't see, but we would like you to notice as well. The first thing that I think you probably saw, but I'm not sure if you noticed, is this group time was not about teaching. So there was no one who got up in front of the group and they dominated the discussion for the next 20 to 30 minutes. And now I'm going to disseminate biblical information to the rest of everybody in the group. This was discussion and question asking. And that's what a small group really does look like. I was thinking about this week. It's kind of the difference. Think about, like, you go with a couple of your buddies out to, I don't know, a park or a yard or whatever, and you decide you're just going to throw a football. One guy has a football, he throws it to the next, throws it back to that guy, he throws it to another guy, throws it back to that guy, right? And that tends to be how you play catch with a football. What we're saying is a better analogy would be, think about if you've ever been to a concert and they throw out a beach ball into the crowd. Have you been there? I was going to bring one this morning, I thought, that might be a bad idea, right? but a beach ball just, it bounces from one person to another and it's going around and there's not really control of the beach ball. People are just jumping in and being a part of it. And I think that there's a large degree that that's what small groups look like, right? It's not, every conversation shouldn't go back to Matt, you know, the leader of the group, but actually people are bouncing off of each other. Oh yeah, that reminds me of, hey, what about this verse? Or, you know, whatever. And so conversation is around. That's how I tend to gauge success for me in a group in a night is, you know, did everybody who wanted to engage in the conversation? Here's the second thing you might have seen but didn't necessarily notice. Silence is okay. Did you notice there were times when Pastor Matt asked a question and nobody was saying anything? We were looking at our Bibles. We were thinking. Some of us, right, we're going, how do I say what I want to say? Others are going, oh my goodness, first time I've had a microphone in my hand. Do I want to say anything, right? But that's not far off from being in a group when somebody doesn't normally talk in a group to 8 to 10 people. They're working through stuff. Silence is okay. Give people time to think and respond. And I want you to notice that you'll have some people who are in your group that all they will do, and this isn't wrong, but all they will do for the first month, 2 months, maybe in the first full semester, is they will show up every week and they will watch and they will listen. And that is okay, right? Because they're still engaging in the community, because everybody's at different places of their growth. Some people who are going to be in your group are new believers. Other people have been walking with the Lord for years. Some will be in your group, they have not said yes to Jesus yet. And so you're just aware of giving people space. Silence is okay. Here's the third one. Always move to action and obedience. Too many Bible studies or small groups that I've been a part of in the past a long, long time ago at other churches shared lots of information about God and then stopped. And so we all walked away going, we know more things about Jesus. Aren't we good people? And the real changer is, okay, we talk about Scripture, we talk about who the Lord is, and now, what is the Holy Spirit leading you to do? How are you going to trust Him? How are you going to walk in obedience to Him, right? That is a real game changer. And so always try to move to that. Thinking and talking about obedience tends to lead. This is how the Holy Spirit transforms our lives. This is where Matt was talking about. Sunday morning tends to be a lecture, right? We're sharing content. Small groups tend to be a lab. This is where you're experimenting with things. Hey, I'm working through this. I have this situation. I have this relationship. Can you guys help me think through this, right? So that's three things you saw, but maybe you didn't notice. I want to talk very quickly about three things you did not see, but I would like you to notice. The first one is this. Pastor Matt used a curriculum that the church provides, but I want to tell you that curriculum is a guide, not a general, right? A guide shows you around and points things out. A general says, you will do this, right? These are my orders and you will follow them. So the curriculum isn't a general, it's a guide. It's designed to support the group. So I want to talk to some of you type A people in the room, okay? Because you got the curriculum. You're looking at it. It's in your bulletin, by the way. And you're going, yes, I will work through every single one of these questions with my group, and we will not dismiss the group until we have worked through them all diligently. Please don't do that. You will have one group, and then you and your other two type A friends will come back. And that is it, right? The curriculum is, nobody will know your group better than you as a co-leader in the Lord. Right? The curriculum is designed to support you, not to confine you on what you will walk through and talk about. Here's the second thing you didn't see. And we didn't have time for it, but I have noticed that connections between people begin in a small group, but they tend to deepen when they go outside of small group. Okay? So we meet people, we connect with them initially during the small group, but if you want to go a step further, you've got to push outside of that 1 hour, 90 minute, however it is, one day a week. And you do that through going, hey, do you want to get coffee sometime? We're going to the zoo. Would you like to come? You just start letting your lives intersect outside of that hour to 90 minute scheduled time in the group. That's when you start seeing a breakthrough into where people move from being small group members into what they would call, this is my family, right? And it's moving to that. Here's the last one. I want to talk about the blessing of semesters, because for some of you, this is the first time you've ever heard a church do small groups this way. Lighthouse groups run for 12 weeks, and then we shut them down, we take a break for 6 to 8 weeks, and then we run another 12-week semester. Now, there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, we want to give our co-leaders a rest time. I was a part of a system years and years ago where we had what's known as legacy groups, and so you start and you just go until people die or Jesus comes back, right? And you never stop, right? And it can start to wear out over time. And so the semester is designed to give co-leaders a rest. It's designed to give members a rest. The other thing is it does is it provides on-ramps for new people to engage into a small group, right? That can be a challenging thing for people to come into an already existing group. So when we shut groups down and then we all start them up again together, new people can on-ramp into a group much easier. The third reason is off-ramps. Because sometimes you're just in a season of life where it's like crazy busy. Maybe your job is asking you to do some traveling for you for a while, and you're like, man, I just can't commit to a weekly small group during the season. That's why we have off-ramps, right? We have these semesters for people to dial down. And sometimes, let's just like be really transparent. Sometimes you sign up for a group, and you get about 8 weeks into it, and you go, I don't know if these are my people, right? And so how do you say no thank you to a group that never ends without making people feel bad, right? I remember I had somebody go, hey, I'm not sure if my group and I are a right fit for each other. What should I do? And I said, oh, okay, well, that happens sometimes. I said, well, what week of groups are we in? And they're like, well, I think we're on week 8. And back then we used to do 10-week semesters. And I said, well, you have like 2 weeks left. Like, just finish it out and then be done. And then move on, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. That's what I'll do. There are some of you in here, you intentionally bounce from group to group each semester because your desire is to meet and connect with as many people as you can from the church. That's fantastic. That's part of that design, right? And so the blessing of this semester system really helps people find rest, find on-ramps, find off-ramps, and that's why we do that. If you're newer to Lighthouse Community, it is normal for the people of Lighthouse Community to sign up for and participate in Lighthouse groups each semester. That is a normal part of what we do. In fact, we have as high as north of 80% of people who are in a Sunday morning service are in a small group as well, right? That's why we have 29 adult small groups for you to choose from. That's why we have 83 Lighthouse group co-leaders who want to help shepherd, who want to help lead you into spiritual truth to discover who God is. I want you to think about that, right? 29 Lighthouse groups, 83 co-leaders who said, I feel called to help shepherd our church family in our county. And can we just do something? We have a lot of people in Orange Church this morning. Can we just say thank you to all of our small group co-leaders for stepping into ministry? Guys, we are thankful for you and what you're doing. You guys are our first level pastors. There are many times when things happen in your group and you know about it first. I remember I visited someone at the hospital and I showed up and they were like, hey. And I said, hey, you know, let's pray together. Let's talk about all that kind of stuff. And I came to find out I was now the fifth person who showed up, right? Like one of the last. Their co-leader had been there. Friends from small group had already been there, right? They're taking care of dogs and all this kinds of stuff. That's how the body of Christ should work, right? That's how it's designed. And so let me encourage you, sign up for a small group. Pastor Matt mentioned earlier, mentioned earlier how to sign up using your connection card. If you're even remotely thinking about signing up, do that today. Groups fill up quickly, and you don't want to be on the outside of this thing. You want to be on the inside of this thing, okay? We're going to transition into a little bit of time of singing. So I'm going to ask everybody here in the house if you'll stand together. If you're joining online, I hope you'll continue to engage with us. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue to worship the Lord. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you have created us to be in community with you, and that leads us to being in community with one another. So may you grow us in that regard as followers of Jesus Christ right here in Lighthouse Community and in Hancock County. We ask all these things in the good name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.